Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Done.
Swing into the jungle with Jim Rome. Afternoons from 2 until 5, right here on Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey Wichita, Jacob Albright. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily, coming up next, exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report. If Boston Red Sox ownership thinks that whacking manager Alex Cora and his staff is going to jumpstart their season, they are begging. The Red Sox are garbage on the field, and they're even worse off it, and Cora was not the problem. Nor is firing him going to fix anything, and ownership is lying to itself if it thinks it will. Then again, when was the last time this organization did the right thing? From best owner the franchise has ever had to the worst. Congrats, John Henry. That's not easy to do. And that's not just me popping off. Go ask any of your players how they feel about the move. Oh, that's right. You don't care. Because when you and your henchmen dropped that bomb on them, they weren't allowed to even ask any questions. Nice transparency. Way to shoot your guys straight. And by that, I mean stab them right in the back. Hey, John, you're no longer in it to win it, so sell the team to somebody who is. Your fans and your players deserve a hell of a lot better than you. I'm Jim Rome. And remember, you can follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome. Jim Rome here. True story. I married the best person I've ever met, Janet, and we've been married a long time. And the one thing that she loves above all else, I kid you not, pictures. She's constantly taking pictures of everybody and everything. Can't get enough of them. So I found the best gift ever, Aura Frames. Save on gifts that moms love at AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, get $25 off the Carver Mat Frame with code ROME. Support the show by mentioning the Jim Rome Show at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. That's code ROME at AuraFrames.com.
One in four Americans have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also a working mom who cares deeply about making sure every child with a disability thrives by getting their access needs met. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals provides children and families the foundation for lifelong success through early learning programs, skills training, and prep for college and career. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. Join us at EasterSeals.com.
A lone starship hurtles across a trackless void. A single human spark bulleting beyond the barriers of space and time. Yes, radio listeners, set your imagination for the year 2000. It's time to blast off into the incredible with
Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
I don't know what that is, man. Hey, cuckoo, baby, don't tell me. Huh? Talk down to me. Now get out of here or I'll have my legs broken.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage, Max Power, putting those intros together for you, having a little fun.
Absolutely.
Kicking old school in old school radio intros. Love it. Thanks for being here with us. 869-1240 is the number you can call on KFH. You can reach us lots of different ways. We've got video streams for you. You can comment there, Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, as always. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app as well, where you can leave us voice messages, even if you are listening to us from the future. Maybe you're catching one of the podcasts of the show that goes out. We appreciate you no matter how you take us in. Thanks for being here with us. We're going to talk a lot today about college athletics in a variety of different, you know, lanes here. Big stories yesterday that kind of started developing after we left the air. One involves gambling and Texas Tech's quarterback and their chances to get back to the CFP now are a little bit in question, Paul. So we'll talk about it. Brendan right. Sorsby in the news yesterday quite a bit. We also have some major potential changes coming in eligibility for college athletics. Now, we've been talking about this for a few weeks, TJ and I. I don't think I've caught Paul's opinion on it, but we get movement toward it. The 5 years of eligibility thing that's been out there floating around feels like it has legs moving forward. What are the implications of that? What are the implications for outgoing seniors here? We get some answers yesterday, so we'll look into all of that as well. We've got the Royals back in action tonight out on the West Coast. Looking forward to them trying to keep the momentum going and get this season turned around. All of it is what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring Caddy Snack, Wichita's golf beer. Caddy Snack Blonde Ale, refreshingly crushable, makes the perfect pairing from the first tee to the 19th hole, no matter the score. Caddy Snack reminds you to beer the ball. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Paul Savage, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing, big boy? Some interesting stories. I really like some of your thoughts on these stories, and I think it's fascinating. And what we're on the cusp of are major changes in the world of sports. Everything is changing, and it's just amazing how we sit back and look how college sports in particular have changed. Because, man, I'm not so sure we'll recognize college sports 10 years from now, but Jacob, would that be a fair statement?
Oh, 10 years for sure. I mean, we're in how many years of this craziness?
It's been about four. It's been about, and the reason I say that is because when I timed this with the fact when a couple of our kids at East got offers to Kansas State, and they were offered like in the $250,000 to $300,000 range, and now that's not even a down payment on what kids are getting nowadays.
Here's the thing for me. We all kind of knew what was going to happen with NIL. That part of it, I don't think is what's making it crazy. I think the transfer portal is making it crazy. We've said forever, the NIL component of this, over time, like the amounts of money players make are largely going to be dictated by what somebody's going to be willing to pay them.
That's right.
Now, there are going to be repercussions. There are going to be changes. They've put in salary caps, or they've tried to, which is an interesting concept. But, so they're kind of chiseling away at some progress there. To me, Paul, the thing that has made this so crazy and kind of the unforeseen consequence of NIL and all the legal challenges is the transfer portal. That's what's made every players changing teams every year, players playing for 6 or 7 years. Like, that's where we've gotten to the point where a lot of people, I don't think, recognize it. At the end of the day, when we're watching a football game, how much somebody makes is about as relevant as when I'm enjoying a pro game.
No, it's right? not. Like, are you crazy? Are you nuts? Of course, it's relevant.
You're sitting there watching a K-State Baylor game, and all you're thinking about is how much money somebody
makes. I'm sitting there wondering. I'll guarantee you. I wonder. Maybe it's just me. Max, do you ever wonder about this money stuff? I want your expert opinion. Do you think about the money these guys are making while you watch?
No.
Oh, that shot that down pretty quick, didn't it, Jacob?
I watch a Wichita State basketball game, and I watch Kenyon Giles shoot 8 threes, and nowhere during that process of enjoying that basketball game am I thinking, boy, I wonder what his NIL deal was.
Could I be so wrong?
I'm not going to be naive and say, of course it's on people's minds. I'm just saying it doesn't take away from the experience. To me, what takes away, though, is the transfer portal. And it does. And look, whether or not the transfer portal should be allowed is legal is probably a different conversation of whether we like it. I don't think anybody likes it. I don't like it.
Players like it.
Not the way it's turned into.
Well, the players like it.
You know, the transfer idea had started to get legs even before we saw these changes. You remember how many times, Wichita State's a great example, we saw massive turnover on Shocker rosters
sure
for
did.
Years.
Yeah.
Austin Reeves, that was kind of the area where you saw it start. There were teams where they lost just about every player.
Yeah.
So now it's just become like that sort of thing everywhere for every sport all the time, especially in college basketball.
Right.
And so, okay, nobody likes that. Coaches don't like it. Fans don't like it. Schools don't like it.
Players love it.
Even like free market people like me, I don't like the investment in the resources being poured into a player only to have that player just leave. It's the same thing for drives me crazy about a coach, right? I can't – it drives me nuts when we hold the players to different standards as we hold coaches.
Well,
to.
Jake, once again, you're missing the point. Those are grown men and women who are in the coaching.
What age, Paul, can you go serve in the military?
Well, that would be 18.
That's exactly right. We're adults at 18.
Yeah.
I do not care if Bill Self is 60 years old or 18 years old.
Well, no coaches at the Division I level in football and basketball were doing fine in the payroll salary department for a long, long time.
But they hold schools, you know, ransom and leave at a moment's whim anytime they want. There's buyouts and there's all these things.
Okay, buyouts, that's right. They don't just leave on a whim. There will be consequences for many of these coaches unless their contracts
are. Not for the coaches. For the schools, yes. Not for the coaches.
Well, you know something, that's a good point.
What consequences has a coach ever faced for moving up the coaching ladder?
Yeah, I got you. No, you're probably
not paying the buyout.
I see.
Somebody else is paying the buyout.
I see what you're saying.
And it's fine. Like if that's the way business is done. And so now we've seen that kind of happen with players and we don't like it. I don't like it, by the way. Like, I don't like this transfer portal thing either. This new rule doesn't necessarily address all of the transfer portal issues directly, but it does address some of them where we've had long eligibilities extended because being in the transfer portal is so lucrative. So we'll go through on the other side here.
All right.
What is being proposed? TJ and I sort of disagree on this.
Right.
I think the spirit of it, everybody can say, okay, step in the right direction.
Right. And I apologize. I think I got us off the track where we were headed. But, you know, we just got to get this right. This is too important for a talk show like this not to get this right.
Like, the end game here is going to be significantly better than
You're right
but
there.
But you got to get there. And it's complicated because there's lawyers involved. And,
yeah.
You know how that goes. All right. We're going to come back and we'll talk about it. What was said yesterday and what could be on the horizon? That's next on Sports Daily.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. It's a little slow on I-235 southbound to K-96 east. And watch for construction on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street. There's a slight backup there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey, Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. It's a mostly cloudy start to the day. We may even see a sprinkle, especially north of Wichita. Then partly cloudy this afternoon. North winds 10 to 15 and a high of 63. Partly cloudy and chilly overnight. 43 should do it for the low. Back over to a mix of sun and clouds Wednesday. High 66. Mostly cloudy and 65 on Thursday with a chance of rain. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
The Drake Toll Show. Cade Cunningham is one of the most important pieces to any team in the postseason. And if you are dialed into the NBA postseason and you are not dialed into Cade Cunningham, what do you watch? Cade Cunningham might be the star of the NBA postseason.
Drake Toll, mornings at 5, right before Sports Daily at 7 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Better than a halftime show. And we don't even have backup dancers.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bedweed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Welcome back into Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you here on the air, taking your comments, commentary. You can call in 869-1240, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can leave us your video comments as we make our way through. A pretty big story yesterday. We're just getting maybe some clarity on a pretty big story that's been around for a little while. So Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, yesterday saying and basically moving forward with this eligibility stuff, Paul. He's confident, he says, that the rules that have been thrown out there the last few weeks, I guess it's been about 5 years. That is probably going to happen. They're optimistic. The NCAA put a statement out about it, saying the time is now to reform the period of eligibility rules to provide Division I student athletes in our schools clear and consistent standards that align with current college athletes' experiences. So the main thing in the short term that got answered to yesterday, the new rule proposal is basically this: 5 years from the time you are, I guess, turn 19 or graduate high school, whichever comes first, you've got 5 years of eligibility. 5 years. 5 years to play. You know, that's it. So that is an extra year, but it also, what I think the goal is here is you eliminate the 26, 27-year-old, 7, 8-year starter with all these different ways that, you know, the system has been changed, and we had the COVID year, we had all of that. It's 5 years, you get five, you're done in five. So, okay, A, you get an extra year. Are you okay with it being five and not four? I think that's one question we got to answer. And then the big questions for me come, Paul, in, well, are we still going to have waivers on this thing? Because there are reasons I don't like that. Now, the injury part, I don't know if they're getting waivers anymore for injuries, right? You blow out your knee twice. Sorry. You know, that doesn't do anything. The one that gets me, you know, you've got your service academy exemptions that you'll have to really, really consider. You've got religious exemptions that you'll have to really consider. And then for me, you've got hardships that you've got to consider. Kid has to go home because something horrible's happened in his life, some hardship that he must go take care of his family or something. You know, those are all factors to consider. And I'll need to see that those kinds of waivers could still be granted. I don't think the medical red shirt thing is going to be a thing much anymore, Paul. I will say this because I don't love this. I think this is making a change to something that doesn't need to be changed. I think there are some instances of, you know, the system of eligibility being taken advantage of, but not enough for a holistic change. But we'll see if they, you know, if they put in the correct guardrails, okay. Like I could maybe get on board with it, but I don't want to see a kid who's never played because of some unforeseen circumstance not have the chance to play because they're now 24 years old or whatever it might be.
Right.
But we'll get there and see those details. The big piece of news and information that came yesterday is that the outgoing seniors would not be included in this.
Now, that is true.
You have to imagine, you know, the players that are incoming to play their fourth years next year are going to have a huge financial advantage over the players that just finished. Mm-hmm. Like you can define it however you want. So an incoming senior next year gets another year of eligibility in this,
right,
in theory, whereas the outgoing right now do not.
Right.
That's a huge financial kick in the pants, to be perfectly honest
right.
with you.
Right.
You know, guys like Kenyon Giles and Caron Boyd, Shocker fans, become the poster children for this. Like, wait, this rule's changing? Can we come back? And there had been some question of like, could these guys come back? Real question. Like, that was really a thing. It appears now that they won't be able to.
Gotcha.
And so answers that question. And it kind of sucks for those guys. But at some point, Paul, like, if you're going to make a change like this, you do have to rip the Band-Aid off. It has to start somewhere, doesn't it? Like,
Because
if you allowed it for the seniors that are going out this year, then the seniors that went out last year will be like, whoa, what about us? You know, hey, hang on a minute here.
Right.
Get that. So you have to kind of just draw your line somewhere, and it appears that's where they'll draw it. That's the bigger part of the news that's been coming out in the last 24 hours. But they did put out a statement, Paul, and the you know, NCAA president thinks this is going to happen.
I like it. I really do like it. I like the five-year deal. You know why I like the five-year deal? We're going to see more and more kids graduate. And I think that's exciting. I think if that fifth year brings along a bunch of kids, by the time they finish up their fifth year of eligibility in whatever sport it is, they'll probably graduate. I mean, just to stay eligible, you're going to be knocking on the door of graduation. And I think we're going to see graduation rates explode. And I wouldn't be surprised that at certain schools you're starting to run 90, 95% of all athletes who have 5 years of eligibility graduate. And after all, Jacob, isn't that kind of what we're talking about? Isn't that kind of why they're there? Of course, we know the answer is no. That's not why they're there, Savage. Are you an idiot? Well, yeah, sometimes I can be. But the point is that 5 years, and I would have to think that there's going to be a good number of these kids who go, well, geez, if I'm going to be there for 5 years, why not get a diploma? I'm there. Why not do it? And that's what I like about it, because we all know there are kids, and there's a lot of kids. 4 years.
Now this says, you know, so two big parts of this, and I should have said this right out of the gates. 4 seasons of competition in 5 years of eligibility. So I don't know. This is all still just a little bit confusing. Okay, so I don't know if we're giving like a super senior season here, or if we're just saying you get one like medical red shirt, for instance, or just red shirt season still, and you can only play 4 of the seasons in 5 years. This is where this all gets really confusing and I think difficult. And look, there are going to be challenges that come out. But if I tell you that the NCAA board is saying here's what they said. There are two key elements to be included. One is kind of what you're talking about, that they will include degree completion even after eligibility expires if they hadn't earned a degree yet. You know what? We've seen that before. Players will go back and finish their degrees. Mm-hmm. They get 10 years to do that, I think, with scholarship rules in Division I. And then the other one is it just says maintain existing rules, allowing 4 seasons of competition in 5 years of eligibility for student athletes competing in this year. New rules not expected to retroactively apply to student athletes whose eligibility is or will be completed by the spring of 2026. Those are the seniors we're talking about. But then in the beginning, here's what they say. Under the new model, let me just read you the opening statement because it is confusing as you read it. After a robust discussion, the Division I Board of Directors on Monday directed the Division I Cabinet to advance an age-based eligibility concept that, if adopted in its current form, would permit student athletes up to 5 years of eligibility beginning the regular academic year after they turn 19 or graduate from high school, whichever happens earlier. Under that model, Division I student athletes would no longer be limited to only 4 seasons of competition within their 5-year eligibility window. Okay, so you've got kind of this two-pronged thing happening. So they're telling you there, you don't just have 4 in the 5, you have 5 in the 5, but then later they're saying you only get 4 in the 5 for the players that are leaving. It's all very confusing.
That's for the players
leaving. What they're trying to do, Paul, is cut down on players that end up with an 8th year of eligibility. And,
right.
you've got 26-year-old professionals playing college quarterback and all of these things. And I just, as long as you can get me the waiver process for kids that have real legitimate, I don't think injury is going to be this either. But I'm talking about a kid whose parents die and they got to go take care of their brothers and sisters.
Well, they can get these
those kinds of things happen.
Yeah, those things
happen. You have to have a way that they're not punished for that. The religious exemption is going to have to be a part of this. And then you've got service academy stuff that you've got to consider as well. So, I hope that they do. But I will say this, because I do think this is maybe attacking the problem in the wrong way. But okay, I'm willing to give it a shot. I will say this. It helps point us in the right direction on the transfer portal, I think.
Right.
Because now, if they can combine this with, let's call it one free transfer, Paul, right? You get one free transfer. The second time you transfer, you have to sit out a year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not telling them they can't transfer.
Right.
You're telling them that second transfer loses a year of your eligibility. Now, you're looking at that from a cost perspective if you're a potential athlete going in to a portal and saying, boy, let's say you jumped from South Dakota State to Wichita State, okay, after your freshman or sophomore year. So you jump from South Dakota State to Wichita State and you come in, you have a great year for Wichita State. That's been a ripe scenario for somebody to then jump to Duke.
It has.
Right?
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
Let's say that is the scenario, okay, and you go into it, and now you have this 5-year of eligibility thing. Okay, so you've got 5 years to earn money, basically. You know it's going to be higher at Duke, but now you got to sit out a year and you lose one of those years of eligibility. You won't make anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that worth it at that point?
Right.
To transfer?
Yeah.
Or is it worth it to stick around?
Yeah.
That's where I think this could crack the door open to maybe some portal happenings. Because right now, here's my other problem with it, Paul. It doesn't solve the biggest issue. The biggest issue is the transfer portal. That is the biggest issue. It's not even that a player might have picked up a seventh year of eligibility. That holistically, that's not the biggest problem. The biggest problem right now that people can't stand is the transfer portal. And if you give them 5 years of eligibility, but they can still jump around and transfer as much as they want, nothing's been solved.
Right. And I think that
now we just put on a bunch of unnecessary rules and nothing really changed. So if you can't use this to help fix the portal, we didn't accomplish anything.
Right, right. Now I'm going to be truthful. I thought we're talking about 5 years of eligibility. Everything I've read starts out.
We are fit, except for the players going out.
Maybe so, but all I know is that article after article says fifth year of eligibility. And I'm sorry, maybe I'm not that smart, but I took that. No,
I think you're right. It says in the opening paragraph,
all the stories say that
Division I student athletes would no longer be limited to only 4 seasons of competition within their 5-year eligibility window.
That's what I've been hanging my hat on. Yes,
but it also is trying to clarify that except for the outgoing players who have already played 4 years.
Well, if that's the case, they're doing a horrible job of clarifying. I can tell you that because I am confused.
This is going to get challenged.
But I think overall, just that fifth year. And by the way, we all know this COVID thing, for extra years has been used and abused and taken advantage of in ways we never dreamed. Now, I can certainly see certain situations, Jacob, and you point out a few of them, such as a problem with the family. Maybe mom or dad has a health problem and they need to go home. And by golly, I think there needs to be these exceptions, and we'll know if these exceptions are abused. I can't imagine abusing a situation at a university in order to take advantage of mom or dad dying or something like that. I mean, I guess it could happen, but I would imagine it wouldn't. So there are some of those exceptions, the religious exception. There are schools, particularly Catholics, particularly Baptists, particularly Mormons. There are schools that specialize in you know, people who go abroad, missionary, it's missionary work, basically. And so I think that has to be a real exemption, too, because even in my time at Baylor, I knew missionaries. There were people that would be there that 2 or 3 years older than a lot, still in the dorm, and yet they'd been on a year or two of missionary work, and there they are at Baylor University. So I know the Baptists are active. I know the Mormons. We all know about Mormons because that's almost a standard requirement that those kids go do a service for their religion and for the betterment of mankind, and we all get that. I don't think anybody's going to argue with that is legitimate. I'm not going to, and I know you probably wouldn't either. But with that being said, everything else I like. Five to play five. You want to play five, play five. When do you start? Start now. Sorry, son. You're a year ahead of your time. You should have waited a year
that's going to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry about your luck.
Sorry you were born just a little bit too early. That's just
One other part of this real quick, Paul, is there are also some things about transferring and tampering enforcement in here.
Mm-hmm.
Not I think what we want, but they're looking to, I think, intensify, although proof will be needed, intensify the punishment for tampering. So it basically is changing it. Schools suspected of tampering prior to their entry into the transfer portal would need to demonstrate that the violation did not occur to avoid penalties.
Oh, so you got to prove yourself innocent instead of guilty, huh?
Correct. And that was at the request of, I believe, the Big Ten Conference.
Wow.
So that's interesting.
Well, that's a little crazy, isn't it? I mean, because you can accuse anybody of anything.
If it helps avoid the tampering, it's one of those things where, like, okay, they're trying here. They're trying.
That's a little weak.
And then there's something that I don't really understand either about the rules for the notification to transfer process, which would allow schools to decline to enter a student athlete into the portal only if the athlete agreed to release the school from that requirement as a part of a valid settlement-related benefits agreement with the school for the period of the agreement. So I think this gets into, and we've all had this question. Kid comes in, signs NIL deal, transfers right away, does all this. What's the school on the hook for in what they agreed to? How are those payments divvied out? Is it a lump sum? Is it over a period of time? We've always said, put them under a contract. They break the violation of the contract, they don't get paid their entire contract, like the rest of us.
The fact
we've always thought that was the right way to go.
You signed a scholarship agreement. You know what that is? You know what that is, Jacob? You know what that is? That's a contract. That's a contract.
Yes, well, it is, but there are other parts of a contract that matter. But so there's also some, it looks like, relief for schools, I think, in that regard, too. This is all interesting. And and Rick points out none of it will work because they're going to get sued. I agree. This is going to come from lawsuits. Now, they can set this framework in, and then lawmakers are going to have to step in and change the laws, because Rick is correct. There will be legal challenges to this. But the NCAA does make rules that you must abide by. I mean, they're an enforcement body of NCAA competitions, so they can set the rules for their own competitions. We'll come back. We got more. It's Sports Day.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. It's a little slow on I-235 southbound to K-96 east. And watch for construction on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street. There's a slight backup there. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. It's a mostly cloudy start to the day. We may even see a sprinkle, especially north of Wichita. Then partly cloudy this afternoon. North winds 10 to 15 and a high of 63. Partly cloudy and chilly overnight. 43 should do it for the low. Back over to a mix of sun and clouds Wednesday. High 66. Mostly cloudy and 65 on Thursday with a chance of rain. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
right now.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some these players, young players. Now, Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Download the Odyssey app and listen anywhere.
This is my Odyssey app. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My Odyssey app is my best friend. I must use my app, true.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I love listening to play-by-play games on KFH radio.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in. Glad to have you here with us on Sports Daily. You want to win some free HTO? You can do that right now. Text us to win. The keyword is T. The short code is 20357. Text that word to that number, and you can win a free cup of tea on us here at Sports Daily. These will be good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. More than 20 flavors of sweet and unsweet iced tea to choose from. All kinds of other drinks in there as well. Get in there and check it out and get a free tea on us here from HTO, East Wichita, West Wichita, and Derby. Good luck, everybody. We come back, Paul. We'll get to the Brendan Sorsby story in the next hour in our long segment.
Okay.
Let's switch gears to baseball here a little bit. The Royals back in action tonight. You know, we're looking at it, and it's pretty wild what still is out there in front of Kansas City, despite the fact that they're 6 games under .500 toward the end of April here. They're 3.5 games back of both Cleveland and Detroit. Isn't that crazy? Just 3.5 games despite being 6 games under .500, despite being about tied for the worst record in the American League. I mean, it's wild. Cleveland lost, so they're now 3.5 games back of Detroit, 3 games back of Cleveland. All of that said, it's all right there for them, Paul. Last week, the offense has been such a challenge. They averaged 7.5 runs a game last week, all of a sudden. Now, they've got to be able to take this on the road. They've got to be able to do all this. But it's hard. We've talked about it a few times now, what you probably need to do to make that up historically, to get to the kinds of win totals that you need to hit, and that's going to be a challenge. But if you just simplify it and say, start the season over today, you're 3.5 games back at Detroit. Like, okay, like that's not that big a deal, right? I think for Royals fans, for all that's gone wrong to start it, this is pretty much a best case scenario.
You think?
Happened around them, because they could easily be sitting there with that kind of record and just like Boston's a game better, a half game better than Kansas City. They're 7 games back right now.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You look at Philadelphia and the Mets, who have been off to also really bad starts, each 10.5 games back. You know, the Giants, who were a team with high expectations, they're only 2 games under .500, right? They're 6.5 games back. So the Royals have sat here and played poorly and been very, like, to be perfectly honest, very, very fortunate that things have gone the way they have around them. Because it's all right there. And if they're playing the way that they played last week, and I told you they got to make up 3.5 games, you're like, okay, yeah, they probably do that. They're smashing the ball. Now they got to take it on the road. They got to take it out west. They're going to face a bunch of good pitching in this 6 games. And next week, Paul, 7 games against those two teams you're chasing?
Yeah.
Like, it's right there for them.
Take them, make a move. Hey, and by the way, let's put this in perspective. And the American League East, if the Royals were in the American League East, they'd be 8 games back right this moment, this very moment. Yankees are 19-10. Royals are 11-17. That's 8 games. 8 games behind in the American League East. So be lucky you're in the Central. You're 3.5 games back. And it's doable. I mean, you know, I'm not even sure at this point we're talking about winning a wild card. We're talking about maybe winning the Central. How about that? American League Central. Possible? Very possible. Play like you did the last week against the Angels, and you're going to win more games than you lose. How many games that is? Now, that's another question. But that 7-8, what I think you said yesterday, and you can correct me, but I think you said that if you can get within 8 games over 500, you're there. And so I think that's what you said yesterday. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's what you said. Doable, very doable. The way if they play the way they were playing when they were playing the Angels. So we'll see what happens. But obviously, we're all going to pay attention to this particular series. The Athletics are good. They're 15-13. They're 15-13. That's the third best record in the American League. The third best record.
They're probably a little bit early on that, but they got a lot of. That's what happens, right? You get these teams that have really struggled. They trade all these good players. They get all these young players. A few of them hit, and all of a sudden, you look at their roster and be like, man, they got 4 or 5 really good players on that team.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
So, yeah, they're not bad at all. I just watched them play the Rangers. They're not a bad team. They're going to have a pretty good squad roll into Las Vegas when the time comes. And it's been really interesting. It was a hitter's park there last year, and this year it's kind of played, and I don't know why. I think it's just circumstance. I think over time it probably will play as a hitter's park, but it's been a little more pitcher friendly. I don't, you know, the Royals, Paul, again, like some of this is repeatable for sure information, but they've got some real problems. Let me say it this way. The problems the Royals face on offense feel more solvable than some of the challenges they may face in the pitching staff. The bullpen's not really solvable right now, right? I don't think it is. You feel okay about Ursig in the back. His stuff at least looks there, even if his control has been a little waning. And you feel really good about Daniel Lynch, and that's probably it. I don't feel good about anybody else back there. Starting pitching, I've said it from the beginning of the year, and I hope I'm wrong about it. It just feels to me like they've been at the absolute ceiling the last 2 years with how good the starting pitching can be, and they're just due for that to come down a little bit. Now, I think they'll still be really good, but I don't know if they can be as elite as they've been the last 2 years. The area where the Royals feel like they had the most meat on the bone to get better than what they were doing is the offense. And they did that last week. But when you start, and I know Mikel Garcia has been hurt, and we'll see if he's back in the lineup tonight. I suspect he will be. But you've got all-stars or potential all-stars at 4 of them in the lineup, Garcia, Witt, Pasquantino and Salvi, all-star caliber players, right? Then you've got 2 young guys that everybody loves, Carter Jensen and Jack Caglione. They're 6 of your 9, Paul. And so, you know, like you look at the way they were performing before last week, and it's the same story as last year, and you just shake your head at it. And you're like, how is this offense not better? Well, we saw him finally hit for a little power last week, and I don't know what the change was. I don't know if it's the law of averages. Obviously, it's more than just unlucky because they, you know, go back to the back half of 2024, then through 25 and into 26, and it's been an underperforming offense. But still, I think if we're being realistic about looking at it and saying, boy, where could they be better than they've played in April? It's the offense. Mm. I don't think their bullpen can be much better.
Right.
They don't have the arms right now with Estevez down and Schreiber not able to get anybody out. The starting pitching, it's been like as good as it can be for 2.5 years, 3 years. Like, it's not like that's a tough thing to match. So it's the offense, and we'll see. That's why it was nice to see him for a week straight. They had 5 runs in every game they played, Paul, last week, and they averaged 7.5 runs a game. That's the kind of offense I think we look at the roster on paper and say, okay, that's what this is capable of. They can be one of the top offenses in baseball, but man, has it escaped them for a while now.
Well, and I think you're on to something there. And of course, baseball's that funny thing. You know, we talk about baseball differently than we do football or basketball or any other sport because the curves are big. It's like a battleship. You change the course of a battleship. Well, they say it takes like 20 miles before you can turn it around. Baseball's the same way, it seems like. The curve is always longer, but the curve is there. The curve is kind of getting to be seen and noticed. And maybe this curve's a little faster than some curves have been, but it's very interesting. Everything you say is right. And by the way, those four all-stars that you're talking about, you can build a franchise around them, can't you? I think you can. And we've seen we've seen Vinny almost like wake up, haven't we? That's and it's been kind of a fun thing to watch. But I mean, on the upside now, really and truly, I think you're getting some play for the Royals. I think people are waking up. Now, they can't go out and lay a big egg with the A's. Can't do that. You got to be competitive. You've got to win a few of those games. We'd love to see 2 of the 3 games being played won. I don't know if that's possible, but we'll see. And but this is one of those series. We'll think about this series, but we'll think about the Angels series, and then we'll think about the A series that came right after this series sometime in the month of August, won't we? That we'll be thinking about these two series.
Well, we'll be here's what I'll be thinking about with it, Paul. Can they hold court this week?
Good question. Good question.
And good point. You know, 3-3 doesn't feel like a massive achievement, and who knows what Detroit and Cleveland during that time. Because you could go 3-3, Detroit rattles them off, and now all of a sudden you're 5.5 games.
Well, that's possible, too.
So you'd like to see him do more than hold serve, but you're going on the road for a week in the West Coast, and of course we're going to look ahead to what's lying next week at home.
That's right.
7 straight games against Cleveland and Detroit.
That's right.
They can't do – like, this has to be the moment they turn it around. Like, last the series against the Angels, that sweep – has to be the moment for this team that everything turned around this season. Or I'm afraid it will get too late. Because then you have to be realistic with it. And while, yes, if you start the season over today and you're only 3.5 games and all those things sound good, you're 6 games under 500. Now the struggle to get to the record that typically puts teams into the postseason is daunting, very, very large. It's looming very, very large. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. So if that had to be the moment. The Angels series had to be the moment where they start to play better baseball. You know, 3-3, got to do it. 4-2, now we're talking. Maybe you win both of these series. Like, that's what they're going to have to start doing very consistently if they want to put together, I think, the body of work that it's going to take now to overcome such a bad start. 11-17. We're not talking about a bad week here, Paul. We're talking about a bad month of baseball that the Royals have played. The best they can do this month is be 4 games under 500. So let's see what they do tonight. It's late baseball. You ready to get your Prairie Fire coffee? Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee.
Yeah.
We're going to need it.
Yeah, by the way. Yeah, here you go right there, baby.
Because first pitches here are late baseball. It's going to be real late for us here, and we'll see. It'll be the challenge. It'll be the great challenge. Can the two old guys, one much older than the other, I should say,
stay
up late enough to finish these Royals games?
My problem is we got to be up too darn early to do this radio show.
That's what I'm saying.
It's tough.
It'll be tough. It'll be Bubich, Waka, Noah Cameron in the first three against the A's. First pitch tonight at 8:40, Paul. Boy, you're going to have to watch from bed. That's about bedtime.
Thank you for that.
That's asking a lot.
You got it.
We'll come back in the next hour. We'll talk this Brendan Sorsby story. This is interesting now. We'll get into it on the other side.
This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita. K248CY, Wichita. KNSS HD2 Clearwater. And Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. There's a vehicle fire on I-135 northbound at 37th Street. It's not causing any backups at this time, but be aware of potential onlooker delays. And I-235 south is sluggish heading onto K-96 east. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. It's a mostly cloudy start to the day. We may even see a sprinkle, especially north of Wichita. Then partly cloudy this afternoon. North winds 10 to 15 and a high of 63. Partly cloudy and chilly overnight. 43 should do it for the low. Back over to a mix of sun and clouds Wednesday. High 66. Mostly cloudy and 65 on Thursday with a chance of rain. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
It's our duty to tell you about the Odyssey app.
Hey, boss, is that good?
Try again.
Download the free Odyssey app now. Is that better?
No.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.